Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Greyhound Bus Stop Podcast. I'm Eric Wesley, and today we are joined by Dave Leach, President and CEO of Greyhound. Dave, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Well, my pleasure, Eric, and good morning to you and to everyone out in podcast land.
We are going to have a good conversation today, as Dave is going to bring us some insights into Greyhound and I guess a little bit of his background with the company, as well as where the company has been and where we are going in the future. So, Dave, let's start with your background. You've been here for quite some time, but I'm pretty sure there's some people out there who don't know all that you've been through in working your way up through the ranks here at Greyhound. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, well, last year was my 30th year. 30th year, yeah. So I feel like an old dude. You know, maybe the gray hair gives it away, or the lack of hair gives it away. But yeah, 30 years. Started as a baggage handler, which a lot of people find quite surprising. I paid my way through college loading Greyhound buses. And so my gig was I would go to school during the day, and I would go down to the bus depot in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. For those who don't know, I have a Canadian passport and a U.S. passport.
Okay.
So I was born in the U.S. My parents are Canadian.
Okay.
So anyway, I would go to the depot at like 4 in the morning. I had a 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning shift. And
wow.
I would unload buses that were coming in, the overnight schedules, that were coming into the Edmonton facility. And then I'd go to school during the day. And then I'd go back to the bus depot around 5 at night and work a 5 to 9 shift, which was the evening bus
right.
rush. And then quite often, because I was young and still single for a very short period of time, because I got married very early in my life, so I was like 19. But anyway, I'd work this 5 to 9 shift, and then ask the guys who were, married to go home, and I'd try to take the back half of their shift.
Oh wow!
And this so I could make more money. And a lot of times I'd do my homework in the break room, in between shifts and that kind of stuff. And often I slept in the dorms, the driver dorms upstairs. Because I'd work till 1 in the morning, and then I'd have to start again at 4.
Wow.
So I'd, catch like 2.5 hours of sleep.
Oh, goodness.
And then go back. You can only do that for like a short period of time. But so anyway, I got to know where the drivers, slept. Got to know the drivers quite well. Got to know the business quite well. And my college education is in biological sciences, which has nothing to do with running.
Biological sciences.
Yeah, biological sciences.
So what were you planning to do with that?
Yeah, well, I wanted to work for the national parks system in Canada. Very, very connected to nature and the outdoors. Spent a lot of time as a young fella, traipsing around the bush in Canada. And so wanted to spend some time, in a career in that space. Problem is they don't pay that well. And I got married and we had children. And so priorities change, right? Instead
right.
of traipsing around the bush like a wild man, you end up having to have responsibilities. And so, the Greyhound, gave me that opportunity. I gained some seniority in the organization as I was a baggage handler. And so, saw lots of opportunities to make a difference. The people I worked with were fantastic, very open and very willing, to change the way we were doing things to make things better. And so we started to change things at the grassroots level, at the front line. We could load a bus differently. We could help consumers differently. And so I wanted to see how that, it was very satisfying, first of all, and I wanted to see how that would go. So I used my union seniority to become an express agent, so ship parcels
okay.
and that kind of stuff, and then, a ticket agent. And when there was opportunities to fill in for supervisors, I filled in for supervisors that were taking days off or vacations and that kind of thing. And so I had a chance to, be a lead hand
mm-hmm.
And then just work my way through the organization. I was a, regional dispatcher for a while, so, managed the driver workforce and made sure there was buses and drivers available for the schedules. And then moved into the customer service arena in Canada as a customer service manager. And then, you know, the natural progression through a, in Canada, we call them terminal managers instead of city managers.
Right.
But same idea. And then onto a regional manager and ran, you know, the package business for a while, like Dave Phillips does for us here.
Okay.
And then moved into the passenger business and ran the passenger business like Myron does. And then was senior vice president of Canada, like Stu Kendrick is now.
Okay.
And so went through all those roles. And then in 2006, I guess, it was late 2006, around September, I moved from Toronto to Dallas to take over as the chief operating officer for Greyhound North America, because a guy named Jack Hogsland, and many of those right. folks who are listening to this will remember Jack. So Jack and I transitioned for about 6 months, and I took over as the official COO in February or March of 2007, working for a guy named Steve Gorman, which many of you will remember. He was our chief exec at the time. So then First Group bought Laidlaw in late 2007 and asked me to stay on as the chief executive, because Steve was going to move on and go over to Delta Airlines. And so I've been the chief executive of Greyhound from the time that First Group has owned Greyhound, which was November of 2007. So this year will be my 10th year as the chief exec. So 30 years in the business last year, 31 this year, and 10 years as the CEO.
Did you ever imagine that it would all lead to from starting as a baggage agent or handler to becoming CEO? Did that ever come into your mind?
Not a chance. It was certainly wasn't in my thinking, and I am almost 100% sure that my supervisors and bosses at the time, it wasn't in theirs either. But you know, times change and people change, and you know, opportunity. And I would just say that to everyone in this organization, you work hard and you take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You know, I moved 8 times, you know, around Canada and the United States with 4 kids.
Wow.
Left kids around, you know, the country at different towns as they matured. I wouldn't have traded it for anything, but it is a significant sacrifice. But you know, if you really want to, you know, improve your lot and you want to make you know, a change and effect change in the organization, you have to be willing to try your hand mm-hmm. at different locations and different jobs.
And you still seem to have the passion. Every time I talk to you, you still seem to have this fire about Greyhound and making sure we're doing the best to be the consumer of choice for those who are traveling around the country.
Yeah, you know, you can never, you know, there are days when you get tired of the grind, right? I mean, everybody gets tired of the grind, but this is about a much bigger mission and a bigger vision. You know, and for me, it's you know, doing the very best we can for the consumers that are buying our products and services. And it's always been so, you know, from the time I was a baggage handler, I often thought, geez, you know, we could do this a little bit differently. Mm. We, you know, when we come to work, we can treat, you know, the elderly that are riding on our buses differently, or the persons with disabilities differently, with more care and attention. It doesn't take that much effort. It takes less effort to be nice than it takes effort to be miserable. Mm. You actually have to try to be miserable.
Right.
And so naturally, as human beings, we inherently feel more comfortable being nice to each other.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of creating an environment where we can be the best, you know, that we can, and our consumers will respond to that. And so I've lived through that in every role that I've had, and it's not just talking to our customers and providing a great experience for them, but it's talking to each other and taking care of each other. And some of the best times I've had are at the front line, where we've created these bonds, these lifetime bonds, because we've been through things, you know,
right.
you know, crisis situations and very busy situations, and you all often you know, take on the challenge of an Easter long weekend.
Right.
Just happens to be the day before Good Friday when we're doing this. And we're about to get really busy, and we are really busy across North America. And so I relish and often miss those opportunities where you're on the ground and you load five or six or seven sections and they go off without a hitch and they all leave on time. So, you know, that to me is, you know, what motivates me is I remember being there. I remember the people like it was yesterday, both the people I worked with and the people we serve. And it drives me, right? It's just, it's something that I think we can always do better, and we can always make a difference.
How are we doing with the consumers, the customers that we serve? I know we've talked about the Net Promoter Score before, and that's something that I guess we all need to be aware of. How are we doing in that area?
Yeah, you know, it's a very complicated measure. As Andy and Todd and the commercial guys have brought this into the organization, refined it, and given us this tool that other world-class transport companies use that are moving passengers, mostly airlines, but railroads as well. And so, you know, there's pieces of this that are easy to understand. It's you know, are people willing to recommend our service? You know, that's one of the questions that you obviously want people to say, yeah, I had a great experience, right, and I'm gonna recommend this to others. Did you like the service? I mean, I'm simplifying this quite a bit, but you know, when you get down to the core of it, it's just what are our consumers telling us, but what are more importantly, what are they willing to tell other people,
right,
about our business? And we have this historical baggage with our organization. We have this incredibly high awareness out in the marketplace. Everybody knows Greyhound. But along with that, our history leaves us with baggage as well, right? And so we have this lower regard in consumers' minds, right? It's not safe. It's, you know, we're in this bad part of town. The buses aren't clean, or they're broke, they break down, or people aren't nice, or whatever that is. And you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. We've had that in the past, and we have some of those situations crop up from time to time still. But what the Net Promoter Score allows us to do is benchmark the level of services that we're giving today. And we then can affect change. We can put softer seats in the terminals instead of the, you know, the steel grates,
right,
that we all see, right?
Right.
We can put in, you know, wayfinding technology into a terminal where people who come in the front door, our customers, actually don't have to have this fear of, I don't know what to do because this is the first time I've ever been here. They can see that this looks like what they've been educated to look for is a gate assignment board, when the schedule leaves, you know, announcements that make sense. You know, it relieves the fear and the tension. So, you know, Net Promoter Score, they can say, oh, I understand this now. I actually could possibly recommend this service versus I'm terrified,
right,
and I don't know where I'd to go, and this is a horrible experience. And so these things that we're focusing on to change will change the Net Promoter Score. So our Net Promoter Score, as you know from one of the window seat editions, I was pretty, you know, vocal and in your face about, you know, the level of service and quality of service that we offer. I'm happy to say that we've improved that significantly. We're still nowhere near where we need to be.
Okay.
But all is not lost, right?
Right,
I mean,
right,
we know we can affect change. And so, you know, from the mid-20s, you know, negatives, we're now kind of in the mid-teens.
Okay.
And, you know, it moves time of year, low periods, high periods, and we can see the pressures on the organization. So it's helpful because it gives us targets and opportunities to change. The people in this company, the employees in this organization, have responded faster with more effect than I had ever anticipated with tools, frankly, that, you know, shame on us, myself and, you know, the senior team. We've got to continue to you know, invest in tools. So we give the front line the ability to affect change, to make decisions. We just saw this in United Airlines, right? This, and I know this is very timely for the podcast, but, you know, they're dragging this poor guy out of the airplane.
Right.
And why are they doing that? Because they have not been given the authority to make the decisions on behalf of their customer. They have to follow the corporate mantra, right? Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is exactly what United Airlines now needs to do, right? And we need to continue to do that, which is give our frontline employees the ability to make decisions on behalf of the customer. You can't just say, okay, here you go, city manager, you're now, you know, able to make whatever decisions without giving them the support
right.
and the tools and the guidance in order to be able to do it appropriately, right? So we've got work to do to give you the tools, access to the customer database. What do our customers' interactions with us look like? Did they ride with us before? Have they had service failures before? You know, are they a loyal client? Are they a first-time client? Do they have specific needs? How do we reissue tickets when we do fail? What's our service recovery times? What is the process for doing that? Those are the things that are coming. We've had process in the past, right? When you have unlimited buses, unlimited drivers, unlimited resources. But as competition continues to creep in, as our need to be a business that's nimble with good return on assets, assets get tight. Access to resources get tight. So we just have to be smarter and better equipped to deal with what our consumers' needs are. And that's the plan in a nutshell. I mean, there's lots of little pieces going on in there. But you'll see that coming up in this next year.
So when you envision stellar, great customer service, what does that look like for you? What does that entail when we get to that point and it's where it should be? What does that look like?
Yeah, to me, it's very simple. The vision is simple. Okay, getting there, I want everyone to understand that it's not as simple as we make it out. And I just want everyone to appreciate that we understand that as well, that I understand that. But it's very simple. It's a personalized experience for this consumer that meets their needs on a personal basis. Whether you're an adventurer, you're traveling to go, you know, see the world or see America, we need to meet that personal need. Or if you're going to visit friends and family, on time performance, you want to make it to the birthday.
Right.
So, you know, it's meeting that personal need, buying the ticket in a seamless way, right? Without having to go through a whole bunch of hoops and that sort of stuff. And Todd and Andy and those teams are working so hard on trying to make our digital sales channels effortless, one-click purchase. I mean, who would have thought we'd be at one-click purchase? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, Amazon just got there, and now we're there?
Right.
You know, how goofy is that? But but how cool is that? And so what we're doing is transforming, you know, the way that the consumer interacts with us. We spent all of last year and the year before investing in that space. We have another half a year. You know, Chris Bolt and the IT team, as well as the commercial team, have got to finish the delivery of those digital sales channels, the pricing engine, a customer engagement tool, which in the business is called a CRM, and loyalty programs. Those have to be delivered. But more importantly than that, we're going to engage our consumers. We're going to bring them in with this expectation of being a modern digital effortless, seamless, personalized business. They get to the bus terminal and they go, "Oh, hang on a second. What is this? There's no departure monitor that tells me where to go. The announcements are kind of weird in this scratchy thing that goes right. You know, it's those kinds of things. So what we have to do is make sure now and over the next year or two and three is that our service on the ground matches the service that we're delivering when we engage the consumer in the first place. Because we're going to bring these people to our franchise,
right,
to our company, and we've got to deliver on the experience that we've promised. This you know, willingness to try something new, right? You know, Greyhound, you should try us because it's new and it's exciting and it could be an adventure and it's social and it's fun. And so the service on the ground has to mirror that image that we're presenting in the consumer's mind.
So it's about bringing them here, but not just bringing them to Greyhound to try us, but about keeping them here for return trips.
Right. Yeah, and the circle it just goes back in this circle where if the consumer has a good buying experience, then a great boarding experience, then a great on-bus experience, they're inherently going to, over time, get over this angst about recommending us because they're new users.
Right?
We have people coming into our franchise every year. Millennials, you know, young people leaving high school, going to college, riding Greyhound buses, leaving college in their first jobs and going to go back home and see mom. You know, it's those kinds of things, right? And so, you know, we have this opportunity to get it right every time we have a new client. And we have an opportunity to make it right for every client who tried us before and is willing to try us again if they didn't have a great experience. And so that's how we're going to grow this business. And our challenge, Eric, is growing, is getting revenue. We've been cost-cutting maniacs for you know, the last 10 years, 15 years, in fact. Since 2003, as we restructured the national network, we've cut, you know, cost out of our business. We're a fine-tuned fighting machine right now. And some people would say, and some criticism that I've taken over the years, is maybe we've cut too much. Maybe we don't have enough staff at the front line. And so we're looking at that and saying, all right, if we truly are committed to delivering a great experience in the front line, we've got to look at this. So I've challenged Bill Blankenship and his team to start looking at what kind of service design do we need at that front line. More importantly, is what kind of organization do we need at the front line to deliver that experience, right? Do we need more staff to engage with our customers? Backstopping that is a bunch of work being done by Andy's team through Todd and Cy Noray, who are going to define the service, right? So they're like the Pentagon, right, when we're going to war. They create the plan,
right?
And Bill's like the general, right? And he takes the troops and they go, you know, fight the battle.
Right.
And so I really need Andy and Todd and Cy and those guys to start building and working on what the service should look like from a world-class consumer experience to the best of our ability, obviously, on the ground. And then Bill and his team are going to go execute. So we've shifted from this, we've changed our terminals and we've changed our buses. And we're you know, buying buses this year. We're going to buy another 60 coaches. And we're going to buy more next year as our revenues start to grow. Then after we've done our terminals and our buses, we did our systems. You know, the old trip system was antiquated. And it's, you know, these green screens at the ticket counter and all that stuff. And it's very difficult to provide a great personal experience when you got to stand there and let this thing chug away for an hour trying to create a damn itinerary. So we recognize that, and we spent a lot of time and effort and money to get that system to be world-class. And so our website, you look at it, and you go, holy cow, look at our app, 5 stars. I mean, you can't. There's not another transport app in the United States or Canada that has a 5-star rating, not even JetBlue and these guys. I mean, so we're taking these huge leaps. At the same time we're doing this technology change, we're bringing talent into the organization.
Okay.
From other companies who have had success in these areas.
Right.
And that's the first time that we've been able to bring in this kind of talent because of the changes that we're making. And we're getting advice and we're getting support and we're getting challenges from the new employees that are coming to this organization. And there's an energy that brings. And that gives us old guys a lot of energy as well. So, you know, that change is just critically exciting. So you can see how we've gone from bricks and mortar and buses to technology and systems change and transformation, which we have to finish this year, and then move right back into the frontline culture of our company and how we service the client.
We're an iconic brand who's been around for more than 100 years. With what we're doing, do you see us going another 100 years?
Yeah, the way I look at it, guys, you know, we're going to be around forever. There is a need for this business. There's a need for this organization. There's been a bit of a renaissance in our industry, and it goes, you know, in cycles. And, you know, we could talk, you know, a history lesson for another hour. We'll save that for another time, Eric.
Right.
But yeah, as the world urbanizes, and we see it here in Dallas, we see it in every major city in North America and around the world. People are moving to big cities like they've never moved before. And with that comes congestion.
Right.
And congestion is a friend of ours, right? Because we can provide congestion relief. And so we have this natural opportunity built into where we operate. And so having our schedules and our products and our services that are positioned well to provide services to places like Boston to New York or New York to Washington or Los Angeles to San Francisco, Dallas to Austin or Houston, these are areas of congestion. Mm-hmm. Chicago to Minneapolis or, you know, St. Louis, right? These are massive areas of congestion. And people are not buying cars. You know, young people aren't buying cars in these spaces, and they're being more and more predisposed to public transport. And so our responsibility is to make sure our company is well positioned, you know, to be considered as an alternative to taking your own personal car and those kinds of things. And so seamless, personalized, convenient, well-priced, and just a great experience. We can't not win. You'll win by delivering that.
We've talked about a lot in this almost 30 minutes here today. Mm. Have we missed anything? Is there anything that's of utmost importance that you'd like the employees to know about?
I think I just want everyone to know that we know. You know, it's often I sat at the front line and went, man, those guys up there in the ivory tower are idiots. Those guys are complete knuckleheads. They have no idea what's going on. And I just want everyone to know we do know what's going on. Each job is equally as important. My job as the chief exec, in fact, I feel sometimes like it's not as important as the job I had when I was loading buses going to college, because I could actually affect, you know, change immediately. I could make someone smile. Right. And it's a lot more difficult when you're sitting here trying to make everyone smile. I just leave that with you, that we care, that we have a plan, that there is a vision, and it's not difficult to understand. It's about just doing what's right for your client. And we'll do everything we can to give you the tools to be successful.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with us and join us for another Bus Stop podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening yet once again. Always remember, you are Greyhound, so be first, be safe, be stellar.